This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block. And here's a question that gets asked quite a bit during an election year. What's the biggest obstacle to improving public education?
The unions. And I think that goes right to one of the big problems that we have.
That's Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter of California at a recent presidential debate in Iowa. For many in the GOP, beating up on teachers' unions is a lot like kissing babies. It may not get you more votes, but it can't hurt. From that same debate, here are Fred Thompson and Mitt Romney going after teachers' unions.
The biggest obstacle, in my opinion, is the National Education Association, the NEA.
I agree with Senator Thompson on that. Boy, they've been the biggest obstacle to change in education and choice.
Teachers' unions have long been criticized as too liberal and too rigid. But for nearly four decades, one man showed how the unions could be a force for change. His name was Albert Shanker, the president of the American Federation of Teachers. A new book takes readers through his life and career. NPR's Claudio Sanchez spoke with the author and has this report.
Tough liberal, Albert Shanker and the battle over schools, unions, race, and democracy sounds like an all-encompassing book. But even the author, Richard Kahlenberg, realizes he could write two more books about Shanker and still not say enough about his singular role in education over the last 50 years.
I think he continues, 10 years after his death, to hover over all the education debates we have today, over standards and testing and accountability, over teacher quality and merit pay. He had something to say about each of these, and it was usually something new and different.
For example, in the summer of 1985, Shanker stunned members of his own union, the American Federation of Teachers, when he sided with the Reagan administration on the issue of merit pay, an issue that's front and center right now in school districts across the nation. Shanker proposed his own plan to reward excellent teachers with higher pay based on performance. He also proposed what would become the National Board for Professional Teaching Standards, which independently certifies only the best, most competent teachers. Again, Richard Kahlenberg.
He was one of the few, probably the only teacher union leader, who was willing to admit that there are some lousy teachers out there. This was extraordinary.
In a 1990 interview with NPR, Shanker conceded there would always be resistance to reforms that called for greater transparency and accountability in the teaching profession.
Those things are tough. It's very easy to take a soft position and say, look, our nation is at risk, but we will take no responsibility, and we hope that in the long run that will work out. So what I'm saying is it will not be easy to accept a competitive system of accountability and rewards and punishments.
Shanker's reputation as a one-man think tank was due largely to his paid column in the New York Times every Sunday, titled Where We Stand. When he started the column in December 1970, Shanker said, I want people to know that I'm not some sort of madman constantly shutting down schools. He was referring to the teacher strikes he led as president of New York City's United Federation of Teachers in the 1960s. As Kahlenberg points out in his book, the 1968 strike was the worst, not just because it shut down schools for more than a month, but because it pitted Shanker's mostly white Jewish union members against black activists who were demanding more control of their neighborhood schools and the right to pick their own teachers.
And part of that meant that white teachers were fired without any real cause. And Al Shanker had a question of what to do. You know, he was sympathetic to the fact that black and Hispanic kids were not getting a good education in New York City, but the idea of simply firing white teachers didn't make sense to him.
After the strike, Shanker was labeled a racist. It was a stinging accusation, says Kahlenberg. After all, he had picketed segregated movie theaters as a college student at the University of Illinois, marched with Martin Luther King Jr. in Selma, and become a charter member of the Congress of Racial Equality. Still, Shanker never retreated from his fierce opposition to racial quotas, multiculturalism in schools, and what he viewed as the growing threat of identity politics in public education.
It was fine at home for people to be instilled with pride, but you had to have the public schools be an institution that bound kids together from different backgrounds. Ultimately, the justification for public education in this country was to teach kids what it means to be an American.
In the late 1980s and early 90s, as Congress and the White House slowly moved to federalize education reform, Shanker became a key supporter. It was a movement that eventually became No Child Left Behind. In a 1992 interview with NPR, though, Shanker argued that if the government was going to force schools to demand more of students, there had to be something in it for kids.
Kids work for the same reason other people do. They work because they want to achieve something. That's why I worked hard when I was a kid. My mother told me almost every day that if you don't do better than that, you're not going to be able to go to college. And she was telling me the truth. In those days, about 6% of the kids in this country went to college. Well, kids don't work today because they have to go to college, because they know that there's some college that will take them no matter what their level of achievement is. So in other words, the main thing that's missing here is that there's no reward system for kids.
The author.
At just about every book signing and public appearance that Richard Kahlenberg attends, like this one in Washington, D.C., most people say they really miss Al Shanker. Especially now, as the presidential election nears, Kahlenberg says people recognize there's been no stronger, clearer voice for teachers since Shanker died of cancer in 1997.
He came out and said what he believed, and there was no question of where Al Shanker stood on issues. And it all came around to this idea of tough liberalism.
The kind you don't find anywhere anymore, says Kahlenberg, not among presidential candidates or teacher union leaders. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News.